This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome into the program. We're in like that baseball purgatory right now where the days are just dragging. You know that real games are around the corner. At least for our team, already had a couple of real games in Japan. Just wrapped up. Dodgers win again. And beat the Cubbies on a fake home run from Shohei Ohtani, which was interesting. It's an interesting way to start the season. They're never beating the allegations that the entire league is rigged for them. There's just no question about it at this point. But we already have some Dodger fans in the chat, 2-0, and jump on over to Ben and Woods to say hello. Welcome. Good to have you guys here. Thank you for helping us pay for our trip to Philadelphia in July. We really appreciate it. Steak dinner going to be on you guys. We're like loaded with cash because of all the interaction that we've gotten over the last 2 years, I'd say. So thank you. Steak dinner on you guys on Pantone 294. Really appreciate it. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Just mad. It took us so long to figure out how to monetize
stupid Dodger
the
fans.
Dodgers God. Obsession.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Could have been driving.
Better late than never, I guess.
I could have bought a new moped or something. Something that I, you know, something cool. Some toy. I don't have a lot of toys. I got everything I need, but I'm not a big toy guy. Could have had a jet ski or something by this point. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. I doubt you're a jet ski guy. Have you ever been on a jet ski?
I have been on a jet ski.
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
It's a blast.
It was fun. I will say I did it on a very calm lake, which was really nice because it wasn't bouncing around waves, which I don't think I'd like. It was quite enjoyable on a still, calm lake.
I've done like a rough lake, but not like the ocean. Or
have I done the ocean? You did the ocean because you went out to Coronado on one.
Oh, yeah, I guess
that's the ocean.
Count that.
It's
San Diego Bay.
San Diego Bay, which is the ocean.
It's connected to the ocean. You're not going straight out
waves.
Into the waves.
You didn't
ocean,
launch it out at Tamarack or anything.
Which I think most people either do it in a bay or a lake. It's not really an open water ocean sort of activity, except for the most of extreme jet ski riders.
I love a jet ski. Oh, a wave runner. I love them. I mean, like Kenny Powers. It's like that's where I feel most alive is on a wave runner.
My buddy's family up in Washington, they're wealthy, and we would live at their cabin on the lake during the summer, pretty much there like 6 days a week. They would wake up every morning. They had two jet skis right there on the dock.
Out.
Just wake first one's up. You wake up, you look around, you're like, yeah, it is glass out there.
Yep.
You just take the jet ski out. Oh, my God, it was so much fun.
My parents had a lake house for a while, about an hour east of Dallas, and they had two or three of the fastest wave runners known to man. They went like 75 miles an hour. They were insane. Same thing. I'd wake up in the morning. My dad would be like, wave runners need gas. I'd go, I got it. About a 20-minute ride to the dock where you get gas. I would go, gas one up, ride it back, jump on the other one, ride it out. I mean, at, like this, just at 70 across the lake. Now, you're always worried. You heard stories of like a sandbar somewhere. So you were a little panicked. Like, sure. If I hit a sandbar here, I'm definitely going to shoot 400 feet into
probably
the
cost
air.
About $4 to fill the tank.
Yeah, it was elite. It was elite, man. Yeah, I loved it so much. So it's good to hear that you've been on one. Just one time?
Just one time, yeah.
What would be the toy? Because we just said, like, we're not toy guys. We all have things that Paulie and I have things that, like, we collect and stuff. But I've never been a toy guy. Like, I don't have a dune buggy or a dirt bike or... you know, toys, like adult men toys. What would be yours that you would get?
That's funny. The reason I'm not a toy guy, and I assume that it's partly you're not a toy guy either, is that I have no interest in the maintenance
of
toys.
Part of it.
Boats, jet skis, dune buggies, just keeping them up is not... Now, I think there are people who love that aspect of it.
Oh, 100%.
Like, hey, got my toy, I'm going to take good care of it, I'm going to oil it and...
Oil it. Just
tune it. Tune whatever it.
Yes.
Whatever you
Ben buys an ATV and he's just got a can of WD-40.
So
that reminds me. I had a squeaky door yesterday.
WD-40?
I treated it with some WD-40. It's no longer squeaking. I feel like
a hero.
A man.
You can ring the bell if you want to, Paulie. You do feel like a man, though, when you do that stuff. I took one of the kids in the neighborhood, broke a light bulb in the garage the other day. So I had to sweep up the glass and blow it all out, and then I had to get up there with the needle nose and get the part out.
Wow.
Got it done, standing on a ladder with the needle nose, got it out. Now.
Turned off the electricity first.
Turned off the electricity. You may ask me, Woodsy, did you replace the light bulb? The answer is no. Do you know why?
How many woods does it take to replace a light bulb?
Apparently two, me and my wife, because I don't know where she hid the light bulbs. And when I say hid, I looked in every place that they should be or should have been. They weren't there. So she came in and basically said, oh, you got that out? She said when she walked in, I go, Luca broke the light. She goes, great. Now I'm going to have to get up there with a pair of needle nose. And I go, no, you don't. I already did it. She goes, well, why didn't you replace the light bulb? I go, because I couldn't find where you hit them. I'd be happy to do it. Still hasn't been done. It was 3 days ago. But... I did. I felt very manly, Paulie, for getting up there.
I might want a golf cart at some point.
Oh, that's a good toy for you.
Yeah.
That's a really good toy for you. I think.
But you like to walk.
I do like to walk, but I would love to drive to the course in the golf cart.
Yeah, I'm with
you. If I lived close enough to the course where I could just hop in the golf cart with my clubs already on it, drive to the course, that would be kind of fun.
You know what freaks me out about getting the people that have the toys? And so we drove to Arizona. All of us. I just drove to Vegas. So on the way out to both of those locales, you will see big old Ford F-150s towing two big old dune buggy, big old dune buggies. The thing I always think about is, yeah, that'd be awesome to like have those out there, ride them, have fun with them. The thing that has always freaked me out about a boat, about dune buggies, ATVs, any of that, getting them up on the ramp and strapping them in properly and then towing them properly. That's the thing for me that I've always been like, I don't know how to use one of those winch things. I have no idea. And like, how do I get it up on the ramp? How do I make sure it doesn't...
It's a winch, not a wench.
Oh, a winch. What did I say, wench?
Yeah, I think so. Well,
that's a different word.
Yeah, that's
a winch.
Totally different.
I think I think that's a southern dialect,
okay.
Maybe. Yeah, a winch.
We'll go with that.
But it's always panicked me. When you see somebody, have you ever seen somebody back their truck into the lake... Get out, run around, crank that thing down, the boat slides off.
One of the main reasons I don't want a boat.
100%. If I had a buddy that was like, bro, just get the boat, I'll do all the winching, I'll help you get it on and off. Like, I'm not launching anything.
The tow hitch.
I just need a close friend that has a boat and knows what they're
doing. That's really the way to do it. I'll get the gas.
Yeah.
And it'll take your boat out. I'll fill you up.
Bro, it's like every time we drive out to Arizona, we break through the
every
desert.
Every time, dude.
We see the dune buggies. We're like, all right, you think if we just pull over and give them $100 cash, somebody will let us just ride around for 20 minutes?
We have a couple of offers out there. our beloved Charisma and Chris said, if you guys are ever out here at the same time, Chris really wants to take you all, especially over there, Benjamin. But here's the thing. They're going to make it real scary for you. That's the thing that scares me. They're going to make it real scary. I want a nice leisurely drive around the dunes. A little nervous about this weekend. Be heading to Colorado with the family. Bo and Taylor. Bo's on spring break. They're going to stay with their grandparents out there. But we're taking them to drop them off, and I'm going to go skiing on Saturday. And it's been a while since I've hit the slopes. And I actually thought, too, what about a snowmobile trip? And then I thought, man, because I can do, like, we have
free. That's one thing I've never done.
I've never done it either.
On a snowmobile.
You have?
Well, I was very young, but it was a long time ago in Alaska. But I remember going on a snowmobile ride.
Oh, that's fun. But I don't feel like I do very well on it. So we'll see how it goes.
I didn't get to drive it.
You just got to ride on it.
I was just riding in the second in the back.
Matthew said Soft Hand Sports would be the name of your podcast. You're right. We can't deny it in here. But yeah, I would like to get eventually some more toys. The golf cart is a good one. I think I would enjoy driving around in a golf cart. I think I would like a dune buggy. I really do. I just don't know how I was going to get it from place to place or clean it or oil it. Or tune it, as you said. I don't even know what any of that stuff means or what it entails. But again, thank you to the Dodger fans. You've made us a lot of money in the last couple of years, and we're going to keep that train running. They're in the chat. They're subscribing to the show. They're commenting on YouTube. So it's been great. But they did win. They won again. It was, you know, Roki Sasaki's debut, and it was fine. I mean, three innings. I think he walked five, struck out four, somewhere around there. A little wild, as to be expected, but they're going to be really careful with Roki Sasaki. They pulled him, and we can get into that game and the rest going around baseball. We got sports to talk about. None of it's good. None of it. We got sports news for all of you. None of it's good. We got some pissy people in here this morning, no question about it. You know, we'll talk Aztecs. That was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, I haven't watched a ton of basketball in my life.
No, it was embarrassing.
I watched a lot this year, and that was, you picked one hell of a night to have your worst performance of the entire season.
It was ugly.
It was fugly.
It was ugly. Yeah. You know, I was doing the highlights last night, and I mean, it's rare that even when, you know, the Aztecs lose, I'll still show a majority of San Diego State highlights and one or two from the other team. But, hey, they lost. But I want to show our players and our guys. It was, almost all North Carolina. I showed one SDSU highlight.
Wow. What? Which one?
Nick Boyd's three-pointer that made it a 13-11 game early. And then it was never closer than that.
You should have done a Benny Hill montage of all the bricks that they threw up instead. I know that's probably not... probably can't do it.
I'm a little... I don't know. Spun out from an email I just got.
Oh, really? Just now?
Yeah, from a Channel 10 viewer. 5:59 this morning. I won't say her name, but it bothers me a little bit.
Oh, boy. Mm. Oh, boy.
Says, hey, Ben, I'm wondering why you didn't say anything about the women's college basketball playoff games last night or this morning. You only talked about how SDSU's men's team lost. So prejudiced and typical of a male newscaster.
Mm. I saw a tweet about this the other day, too, from somebody that we love and is a big tier one that want us to cover more women's sports.
I responded and I said, well, like, but they didn't play yesterday. I will show UCSD's women's highlights tonight. I often show women's highlights on when they play, but they didn't play yesterday. So I didn't have any highlights to show. I had the men's highlights to show.
Because they played.
And then tomorrow I will have the women's highlights to show, and I will show those. Because at 11 o'clock, I feel like I'm okay here. I'm on solid ground.
I think you are. But it does. I saw this tweet the other day, and it said, man, you know, these guys have spent a ton of time talking about SDFC, and you didn't really talk about the Wave. We did mention the Wave, and we mentioned that they played to a draw, but we didn't get into any in-depth convo on it. Look, it's a good point. It's a good point. But I don't really have a good answer for you. There's probably a shred of truth
to
that.
There's certainly some male bias in sports coverage.
No question.
I'm not going to deny that. I remember when I first started, our old sports director had a note that was sent to him from a viewer just like this one that said, hey, you know, 51% of the people on Earth are women, and you know, a lot of them like sports too. So keep that in mind in your coverage. And I always try to keep that in mind. However, I also keep in mind that, you know, a majority of the attendance and television ratings do go toward the men's game. So there's certainly a higher level of interest towards the men's games. It's not equal, and that has to influence some of my coverage as well. But I try not to be biased, and I certainly try to. I show Wave highlights on the weekend when they play. I show SDSU's women's highlights when they won the Mountain West Tournament Championship. Do I show every single game's highlights? I can't say that I do, but I also am dealing with a limited amount of time, and I do have to edit, you know, be an editor and decide what I think is the most important story of the night. And last night, it wasn't a hard call last night. Last night, the most important story in sports in San Diego was San Diego State's men's game. Spent 80% of my sportscast talking about that. Had a quick Padres note, and that's all I had time for last night. Don't know that any other decision would have been responsible, especially in that I had no women's highlights to show.
Sure. I get it,
too. It's a simple one. They didn't play.
They didn't play.
That's what I emailed back to her. I have not received a response, but I shouldn't let it bother me. I try not to let things bother me, but I don't know why that one just kind of like got under my skin a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it happened. Because there's probably a little shred of truth to it, which is fine. Listen, it's progress. It's not perfection. It's never going to be perfect, right? We're doing our best to do it, doing the best that you can to curate the content that you think people are going to want to hear. And I think there's definitely, look, there's some bias behind it. There's no question about it, right? It's not with malice. It's not with ill intent, but there's definitely some bias behind it. Raise my hand. Absolutely guilty as charged, and we'll try to do a better job at it. I don't typically, I mean, you talk, it's weird. I'm in a weird spot because I do sports radio for a living. I don't watch sports all the time. I don't. I will not watch something I'm not interested in. I mean, I just got into soccer like 2 weeks ago. It's the first time I ever sat down and watched an entire soccer match in my entire life. So you got to give me a little grace there. I will do my very best to be better and do better. I don't watch a lot of basketball. I just really started watching college basketball a couple of years ago. Now, there's a women's baseball league. You can rest assured I'd be on it. That's my greatest love. So, I think there's a little bit of truth to it, and that's okay to admit. Yeah, we have shortcomings too. So it's certainly not done with any ill intent or any malice. We love you all. We love everybody that listens to the show. The show actually does quite well, with women in the ratings. So, I'd like to keep that up, like to make them happy. You know, that's what we want to do.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we will definitely cover women's sports.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of watching sports, Prize Picks is a great way to add to your enjoyment of watching sports, whatever it is, college basketball, baseball season now underway. You can set Prize Picks lineups every single day just by combining 2 to 6 players in your lineup and picking more or less on their stat projections. So baseball, we're talking hits, RBI, runs scored. In basketball, it's points plus rebounds and assists. You can pick it however you want to pick it and win real money, and it's easy and it's fun. All you have to do is sign up by going to the Prize Picks website and downloading the app. When you do, use the code KWFN. You're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Gives you a great little base to start, to play around with the app, set a few lineups, maybe even win right away. I did. I've been playing for the last year and a half. Put together a very bad lineup for SDSU last night.
So did I.
did not work at all. I was kind of with my heart. I understand that. But, you know, play it however you want. They call it running your own game at Prize Picks, and you can do that. Again, just download the app and use that code KWFN to get $50 instantly. Easy to upload, easy to pay with MasterCard or Venmo. It's quick, and you get your money in your account when you win really quick as well. Check it out today. It's Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. We'll come back after a quick check of traffic from Kelly Danick, underway on a Wednesday with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Now, first up on the menu today, obviously, is last night's San Diego State North Carolina beatdown. And the reaction, I think, of Aztecs fans is an interesting part of the story as well. Because it has, I mean, just judging by my social media feeds, it runs the gamut.
It really does.
I mean, all the way from, hey, congratulations to Brian Dutcher and the Aztecs on a phenomenal accomplishment of getting to a fifth straight NCAA tournament and under difficult circumstances, quick travel. You know, who cares that they lost? What a great season for San Diego State. All the way to, Brian Dutcher needs to resign in shame this morning for the absolute embarrassment and travesty of the performance
All right, hang on.
By San Diego State last night.
All right, this is menu setting time. You are getting way ahead. You have foregone the appetizer. You've flipped your bowl of soup over because of your anger. All right. You've already sucked down two of your pre-dinner cocktails, and you are diving right into the filet and your mashed potatoes. This is menu setting time. You're going to get all your takes about
the
ass.
It's not a take. That's simply other people's takes.
Correct.
I haven't given you my take yet.
I saw your Twitter last night. You were in a crash out. It was almost full Kanye West from you last night on Twitter. I saw it. Once I saw Ben start insulting the other team's head coach, I went, he's shook. He is absolutely shook right now. Me and Paulie were texting in our group thread. Ben was on it. He couldn't muster the strength to even text back right then. He was so shook.
Observation that Hubert Davis was an extremely sweaty man.
Hey, listen. Once you start personal attacks on coaches or players, that's when you know you're in the crash out.
Just an observation. Hey, you could say, hey, that guy must be working really hard. Maybe Brian Dutcher should sweat a little bit more. And his team might be playing a little bit better, but Hubert Davis is there looking like he just ran a half marathon, and it's only the first media timeout of the game.
They whipped the Aztecs' ass up and down the court last night, and we will get to all of those takes, all of our thoughts. I saw the exact same thing, Benny. I saw, and listen, when it comes to college basketball, I don't think it's copium to say it. I really don't think you can look at the Aztecs and say to yourself, yeah, that sucked. That was embarrassing. That being said, I'm pretty proud of this team for making the tournament, and the future is bright. It's kind of different. College basketball kind of feels different in that. Now, it takes a lot that's going to have to go your way. Magoon Gwath is going to have to say, yeah, I'm going to stay another year. That's up in the air right now. But we can get to all the Aztecs talk. I watched the whole thing. It was... I didn't watch the whole thing. I turned it off with 6 minutes left because what was the point?
You missed the best 6 minutes by the Aztecs of the game then.
Then I didn't miss much because they still lost by 27.
Yeah. Well, they were down by 40, so it did make a nice run to get it to 27.
Small victories.
I respect the fact that everybody can cheer for sports differently, but in this case, I do feel like there's some wild overreactions to one game. But we'll talk about it.
There always is.
We'll talk about the game coming up. We'll get into some Padres talk, some concerning downgrading of reports when it comes to Yu Darvish's health. And Mike Schilt is not panicking, but I think if you're a Padres fan, you have to be a little bit concerned with the kind of words that are being thrown around. Started with fatigue. Now it's up to inflammation in the elbow. Again, we've gone down this road too many times before.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes it is nothing, and hopefully it is nothing.
When was the last time it was nothing? I thought about that yesterday.
The news on Matt Waldron has gone the other way. They were worried it was going to be weeks, and all of a sudden, it's doing pretty well, actually, 2 days later.
Okay.
So sometimes it is better than you think, but I would think 80% of the time it's probably... not good news and not headed in the right direction.
I'm going to say about 95. honestly, and this isn't a Padres-specific thing. This is an every Major League Baseball team thing. This is just how they present injuries. And they do the old over-promise, under-deliver as it pertains to injuries instead of the soft sell on you, the under-promise, over-deliver. It's a different thing, and every team... He's got a little discomfort, and then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, he's getting Tommy John. And that's how baseball works.
I get that you don't want to panic your fan base, but we'll talk about Yu Darvish, Steven Kolek's performance last night against the Giants, the battle for the fifth starter spot, and more. We will not have Sammy Leavitt on today. It's an off day for the Padres, so Sammy is taking the day off, which is absolutely earned and deserved.
What a slacker, dude.
However... Sammy did do an interview with Jeremiah Estrada yesterday, which is one of the guys we did not get a chance to talk to when we were out at spring training.
Yep.
So we're going to bring that for you coming up later in the program today. At 7:35, our tournament of drops, we are down. Voting is closed on the Elite Eight. So only Paulie knows, but we are down to the final
four.
Final four.
In the tournament of drops already. So we will tell you the winners and we will set the matchups for just your two votes today that'll go into the championship tomorrow. And then on Friday, we'll crown the 6th annual Ben & Woods Tournament of Drops winners. So stay tuned for that at 7:35. We'll have our regular features today, of course, including Don't Do This, Take on Woods at 8:20, chance to win a trip to Las Vegas, and the Rindle Report, plus the biggest fan. But I wanted to, because I forgot yesterday, give a chance for our early Tier 1s who join us in the morning to win some Padres tickets. So why don't I do that right now, today. A little special bonus for everybody who's up early. The fifth caller right now at 833-288-0973 is going to win a pair of tickets to the Padres-Guardians game on March 31st. First 40,000 fans will receive a Jackson Merrill bobblehead. You can get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets, but no warning here. This is just a random throw it out there. Call now, 833-288-0973. And win some tickets to the Padres' second series of the season, the Monday game against the Cleveland Guardians on Jackson Merrill bobblehead night.
Sounds good to me.
All right, now that we've done that, let's get you ready for some Aztecs talk when we come back with Ben & Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
First, I want to tell you about my good friends over at Sedano Ford. Yes, St. Paddy's Day is done. You've heard the commercial. Good times keep on rolling at Sedano Ford. My buddy Manny Sedano, proud local, veteran-owned dealer, dishing out deals all March. Listen, the Ford F-150 Lightning, beautiful, man. Just $99 a month. The Bronco Badlands is an incredible, incredible vehicle. That beast is yours, just $275 a month. You can load your surfboards in it, your golf clubs, whatever you want. The Ford Maverick, flexing at about 35 miles a gallon, hits the road at $275 a month. More cash in your pocket every day. If you have car trouble, the mobile service will come right to your home and take care of you. Swing by Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Make sure to tell them that Woodsy sent you over there. Manny, a local veteran-owned crew, will hook you up Sedano style. The deals are very, very hot for the San Diego summer. They're not hanging around. Zoom on over to SedanoFord.com before March ends, and you'll be cruising all the way home in your dream car, your dream truck from Sedano Ford. For more details about these offers, check out inventory. Go to SedanoFord.com. Again, let them know Woodsy from 97.3 The Fan sent you, please.
I think one thing we oftentimes forget as sports fans, maybe even in life, more than one thing can be true at the same time.
Sure.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. I like that saying.
I think it was true that the Aztecs played a really bad game last night. I think it was also true that North Carolina played an outstanding game.
They were outstanding
last night. And I don't know if the Aztecs played well, they would have won that game yesterday against North Carolina.
Somebody basically said, though,
would have been closer.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter go, if they hadn't shot 70% from the arc, behind the arc in the first half, the Aztecs would still be losing. I mean, nothing was falling. And nothing was falling because they didn't get good looks.
Not at all.
At all. I mean, some of the ugliest looking shots I think I've ever seen in my entire life. I recall the story you told about Brian Dutcher telling his team maybe 2 months ago, all right, you got to stop jacking threes from right in front of the logo. And he looked at all the three-pointers, where they were shot from, and brought out little dummies and put them all over there. If you rolled the dummies out last night, it would have looked the same. I mean, some of the just long-range threes, air balls, clank, nothing close.
At least they weren't early in the shot clock. I mean, the problem was that they were doing that at 20. This time, they were passing it around trying to find something.
They could not.
So they had to throw something up because North Carolina was playing outstanding defense. They really were moving fast, getting in the way. Thought Magoon Gwath was a little rusty early.
Sure.
Ended up being one of the better players for San Diego State last night. But ultimately, what we said yesterday was true. The Aztecs needed Miles Byrd to play like he did early in the season. If they wanted to win, if they wanted to make any sort of NCAA run, Miles Byrd would need to start hitting some shots and playing some better basketball. He was hurt, you know, a lot during the conference part of the season. Have no idea if he ever got healthy or not. But Miles Byrd had an awful
that
game
was bad,
yesterday.
Man.
What was the final?
He had 4 points.
Stat line. Ooh.
He was 1 for 5, and I think I saw the one. It was like a late game kind of a tip in. It wasn't a bucket.
Kind of a semi alley oop.
Yeah.
Rebound
basket.
Yeah, he
was cleaning it up or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he had two free throws. He was 0 for 4 from 3-point.
Three turnovers. It was, I mean, there's just no way you're going to win one of your key players has a game like that. Nick Boyd was okay, but certainly did not, you know, make a giant difference in the game. Just the Aztecs were outplayed top to bottom by North Carolina in that game yesterday. And I think, you know, the Tar Heels deserve a lot of credit for how well they played. And they were playing. Dutch said after the game, you know, as soon as I watched the film of their last 8 or 10 games, I said, this is a team that's playing their best basketball. They may not have put together a resume that deserved over the course of the season of making the tournament, but he knew that once they were in, they would be a very dangerous team. And they're now favorites against Ole Miss in the next game already. I mean, people are jumping right onto the North Carolina bandwagon now.
After watching them play, you can see why. And R.J. Davis was nasty. I mean, he was nasty last night.
He couldn't miss, dude.
And, you know, Paul, you were talking about earlier in the week. Yeah, man, they didn't have a ton of size. And it's a lot of guards out there. The Aztecs could not break the defense in the first half. Even a little, you could not get a clean look at the basket. You couldn't get, everything was contested. It was ugly. Miles Byrd they threw it right to him, and he's got a breakaway. And he's dribbling. He does one small look behind him to see if there's anyone around, loses control, has to pull up under the basket, then panics, runs out to three, and just jacks the three. It's like George Costanza, just chucking the ball, playing basketball. Honestly, some of the ugliest shot selection. They were forced into a lot of the bad looks that they took because, again, the credit goes to North Carolina. I mean, it's a perfect storm. North Carolina played outstanding, outstanding, and you also played like crap. That's the perfect storm of not being able to win.
That's
a
how you get down by 40.
That's how you get down by 40 points.
I mean, UNC made their first 5 3-point attempts. Honestly, the Aztecs, I thought, came out and I go, okay, they can play with these guys.
100%.
Forced, I think, what, 5 or 6 turnovers?
Like off the bat.
In the first few minutes, and I thought, oh, this pressure is getting to North Carolina. The problem was, when they got a shot off, which was rare, they made it. Every single time. They made it. So even though the Aztecs, I thought, were playing really well early, they were down like 6. And I'm going, and I don't think they can play better defensively than they have, and they're down 6. What happens when San Diego State goes through one of their offensive lulls? Or, you know, they don't force a turnover for a few minutes. Well, we found out. They went on a 22-3 run when that happened, and the game was over in the first half. And I've seen the Aztecs go through lulls plenty of times. This season, last season, every season. This one was different. You could tell this was not, hey, the Aztecs are getting good shots. They're just not falling. You know, the other team is, you know, taking tough shots. They're going in. You could tell that it simply was not going to happen last night. And I'm not the kind of guy who gives up on a game. I always think, hey, there's a comeback. There's going to be a run. It's college basketball. Your team's going to go on a run. I never felt there was going to be a run of any sort for San Diego State in that game once I started watching it.
And, Ben, I don't think they felt it either. I don't think that they have that guy that can say, I can bring us back. I did not foresee, after about 10 minutes of watching, I thought, they're not going to go on an 18-3 run. They're just not. It's not in the cards right now for them. Rusty is a good word to describe Magoon early in the game. They were playing him hard. I mean, they pushed him down. They got him hard. Like, they were all over him. It was really a sloppy game.
But,
it was really sloppy.
You know, to come back requires the team you're playing against to go through some sort of
Correct.
Lull. And I don't know that, I mean, North Carolina went 21 for 24 from the foul line.
Wow.
So they didn't make mistakes there. They shot over 50% the whole game, whether it was three-pointers, wherever. There just was no crack.
They were locked in.
In the Tar Heels game that you ever saw, like, okay, here's our shot.
Yeah.
They're showing their weakness. They've tired out a little bit. They've cooled off a little bit. It never really happened, other than when they brought in the bench warmers at the end of the game, and it was by far a done deal. There was just never an opportunity to come back into that game. And I don't know if you heard some of the comments after the game. I want to get into a little bit of what Nick Boyd had to say and what Dutch had to say after the game. We will do that after a check of traffic. First, I want to congratulate Tyler, who won the tickets for the Padres-Guardians game. Congratulations, Tier 1 Tyler, for calling in. We will get to the comments, the post-game comments from Dutch and Boyd right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And this segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Popeyes. Let Popeyes do the fishing while you enjoy their delicious seafood. Come in today for Popeyes Shrimp Tackle Box or their Flounder Fish Sandwich in classic or spicy. Get them before they're gone for a limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Well, you know, there's no more games for San Diego State until next season. But if you are going to lose in embarrassing fashion, at least you have a player who responds like Nick Boyd did after the game. And I loved hearing this from one of the Aztecs leaders.
Oh, it's tough, you know. It's tough. It's hard to really even put into words, you know, how you feel after coming, you know, to the biggest stage and just getting your butt whooped. But, I mean, it's bigger than basketball. And, you know, these are lessons that we could take as a team into the real world and just learn from and learn how to keep your head up. But, yeah, it's just hard to explain. And I just think, yeah, this is a loss that, you know, we're going to feel throughout the summer. We got punked. They whooped our butts. And, I mean, if you don't come to the summer ready to work, you don't really love the game. So I think this is something, yeah, we could definitely grow from and rally around and just take to the summer with us and hopefully be back here next year.
Perfect.
Got to feel you.
Perfectly said.
Good answer.
Got to feel you going forward. And that's, you know, and Nick Boyd does have another year of eligibility. He's a senior, but has one more year if he wants to come back. Dutch's biggest concern now is who can he bring back from this roster? Who is he going to lose? Who can he add in the transfer portal?
When does that all start after the tournament?
It's already started.
Oh, it's already started.
It's already
2 weeks
started.
Ago, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Teams that didn't make the tournament, they've already lost players to the transfer portal. We'll probably find out in the next, you know, few days if anybody is jumping. I mean, you know, they have agents now and probably fielding NIL offers from big-time schools like North Carolina and Kentucky to see if they're going to steal them away. We know Miles Byrd said he's coming back as long as he doesn't go pro, you know, and hopefully he can come back. What?
He's not going pro.
He didn't. He didn't show off his best
foot options
at the end of the season. Magoon Gwath has said he's definitely exploring pro ball. And
I heard Sydney Sweeney is single now. I'm going to go home and tell Hannah. You know what? I need a little bit of time to explore my options. You know, just to see, because you just never know. Sometimes you know.
Magoon's the one. There will be NBA teams that will have conversations of
correct
late first round, early mid second round. Like, hey, that's a guy we can develop. He's not ready yet, but we can absolutely develop him.
He didn't finish well yesterday. I think he was a little rusty. Man, he's just a little bit away from being potentially from being a dominant player.
Really, really good.
He shoots. He moves well. He can block shots as well as anyone in the country. Yeah. Magoon's legit.
He's like our best three-point shooter.
Magoon is legit as it gets, and I'd almost be surprised. I mean, I think someone would draft him now if they got the opportunity. Now, it doesn't mean he's definitely going. You know, there's a world in which you make some NIL money next year and increase your stock and you know, maybe get to be a first-round draft pick with more money, and that's a legitimate, viable way to go now for a player like Magoon Gwath, but that'll be a personal decision with him and his advisors and his family as to how he wants to proceed with his career. I'm not going to be
mad.
You
can make more money in college now than like the G League.
Yeah, you can.
So
that was not the case a few years ago.
And more exposure, way more exposure in college basketball than you get in the G League, unless you're Bronny James. But other than that, yeah, man. I mean, this is it would be depending on you know where teams line up on him. Decent move to come back to San Diego State, try to run it back. It's what we all want. It's what every fan wants. You know, you win you know, you have a good season or semi-good season. You want to run it back and see what one more year of growth will do. So I hope he stays. I hope he stays. I think that'd be great.
And for the fans who, you know, were in my feed yesterday saying that this is Dutch's system. The Aztecs just can't, you know, they've got to evolve and become it can't just be the defensive team that they've always been. I will say, hey, they are 2 years removed from making a national championship game.
Yep.
Dutch's system, Fisher's system, still works on the college level. yes, of course, you'd rather have shooters who make shots than don't make shots. They know that. They absolutely know that. But that's not a system issue. I would like San Diego State to retain its identity going forward. And I know they will. They're not going to rethink everything.
They're just a young, inexperienced team.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the year, they were picked fourth in the Mountain West. They finished fourth.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, probably could sneak into the NCAA tournament as a fourth place team. They snuck in. Could they have won the game in the first four? Of course. Didn't play well. This is just right in line with my expectations for this season for San Diego State, especially without Reese Waters. This was not a phenomenal season. It wasn't a disappointing season. This is the kind of season that you're going to have more often than not.
I disagree a little bit just because the bar is set. The bar has been set for San Diego State basketball. And for me, it's kind of like Sweet 16. Like, if you make the Sweet 16, it's been a good season. If you don't, it wasn't a good season. Because we've been there several times.
Yeah.
That's the bar. If you want to call it the round of 32, fine. Get in, win a game, get into the tournament, you know, all that. That's where my bar is. I'm not just get into the dance and be happy. That used to be the case, and that is the case for some schools. If you get into the round of, the dance full of 64 teams, you're happy. I'm not happy with
that's fine that the bar is the bar, but even teams like North Carolina, I mean, they missed the tournament 2 years ago. They probably should have missed the tournament this year.
Yeah.
You don't think their bar is as high as San Diego State's bar?
Sure.
They've got 10 times the amount of NIL money. There's only 16 teams that make the Sweet 16. You're not going to get there every year.
I promise Duke you, there's Tar Heels there fans that are going to be very upset if they don't win on Friday.
I get that.
Well,
I get
again
that.
On
it's
Sunday.
Like I said it to Coach Fisher yesterday. You know, look, the entire country thinks that your team is not his team, the other team is a joke. Everybody in the country railing on this team. That's the last thing you want. You don't want to kick a hornet's nest.
That was my biggest fear.
Man. Yeah,
you know. Last night. Take the team names away from it.
Of course.
When you have one team that is getting absolutely trashed pretty much universally across the country.
Trashed. Crushed.
You have no business being here. And you're like, we're a blue blood. What are you talking
about?
Yes. We're North Carolina. But if you take the team names out, it's sports. That's what happens. It is poetic justice that team then goes, not just wins, blows the other team out of the water.
Yep. No question.
And that was the biggest fear, and it happened.
It happened.
Unfortunately, my favorite team happened to be on the losing end.
It was realized.
Yeah, I mean, this was always a bit of a rebuilding year for San Diego State after losing 90% of their offense from last season. It was always going to be, it was never a national championship type season for San Diego State. We knew that at the beginning. Next year, maybe, though. You know, they get guys back. I have a lot of hope for the future. We'll set aside San Diego State, get into some Padres talk, the concerning update on Yu Darvish and the performance last night by Stephen Kolek against the Giants. That is coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.